On one hand, it's sobering and saddening that we know so much about child sexual abuse in our society, but turn that around, and it is a good thing that we can talk about it now. If the first step in dealing with a problem is admitting it exists, we've taken a big step that way. And there's so much going on to help the survivors of child abuse, sexual and not. The Children's Advocacy Center in Medford works to help the victims, and so does the organization Together We Heal. Leaders of both organizations join others today and tomorrow in Medford at a symposium on child sexual abuse. And we have two of the guests with us in the studio today. Tammy Pitson is the director of the Children's Advocacy Center of Jackson County. Welcome, Tammy. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
And David Pittman is here as well. He's the founder of Together We Heal. Welcome, David.
Thank you. Good morning.
Tammy, tell us a bit. I know we've had folks from the Advocacy Center on before, but for the folks that might not have heard about the concept of what advocacy centers do. Can you take us through that?
Sure. So advocacy centers provide a holistic approach to child abuse recovery. And part of what we do is that we bring all the professionals together. So the child comes to one place and gets their services instead of having to go to a lot of different places. Those services include medical examinations, forensic interviews, therapy assessments and therapy interventions, as well as we bring the investigative teams together as to be able to get the needs met of the investigation. So it's all in one place. They don't have to go to a lot of different places. The people who need to investigate for accountability are able to get what they need, and the children are able to get the much-needed recovery services.
One of the things that I find most striking about having been in there a few times is it's a very home-like atmosphere. It's meant to be a place that is not full of hard surface. It doesn't look like a police station, for example.
It is not. We're actually in houses, and I say houses, so we have an intake center that's a house that's been redone. And it has a living room and a kitchen, and so does the other building as well. And our medical, this year we had a young lady who did her senior project, and she painted murals through the medical and therapy department to be comforting for kids and teens as they come into the center.
Is there a continued growth of advocacy centers across the country? I know that Josephine County actually had the first one in Oregon, and then Jackson County followed soon after. Have they continued to grow across the landscape, or is at least the concept being embraced?
Absolutely. Not only in this country, but in other countries as well. I can't remember the number of other countries that we are in, but we're definitely there, and it's expanding, and there are more people wanting to have this concept. There are over 750 advocacy centers that belong to the National Children's Alliance across the country.
David Pittman, let's talk to you. Together We Heal came out from your own experiences and kind of grew beyond what I think you might have expected it to do in the first place. Tell us about that.
Yeah, what started off is just my own personal therapy of writing things down, my own blogging and wanting to kind of get things out. I got overwhelmed almost with a response. People were asking me, okay, well, so where did you get counseling? Where did you get therapy? How are you recovering from what happened, this trauma? And so I started just responding. And from that, I realized, you know, I can either just keep doing this, or we can really take something and do something to really help people. So we started recruiting counselors and therapists who would donate their time or provide it at such a low cost that we would cover the cost. Because really we have a niche that we want to help folks who are survivors of childhood sexual abuse that don't have access to insurance, don't have the funds to pay for it themselves. And so we are able to provide that at no charge for them. And we've got counselors across the country, actually even around the world. And then the other really big focus we have is what we're partnered up with the Advocacy Center here this week is giving presentations and workshops where we give a real step-by-step teaching parents how to talk with their kids about this topic, where so often in our culture we don't even talk about sex, period, much less childhood sexual abuse. And so we talk about the grooming techniques of predators, what to look for, and it's just about educating. And so that's what we do.
Is there a lot of resistance that both of you find in the sense that when you do try to explain things like grooming techniques, that there's a very big level of denial to get past first for a lot of parents? It's like, oh no, I'd know that right away if I saw it happening to my kid.
I one of the articles I wrote is called "He Would Tell Me," because that was one of the statements my mom used to make when someone asked her, she said, or a friend of ours said, look, I really believe this guy who turned out to be my abuser is spending way too much time. Do you have any concerns? And my mom's response was, if something were going on with my son, he would tell me. And I am, to this day, exceedingly close to my mom. I mean, we are just the best of friends, and she is an incredible mother. But even having that close relationship, that just goes to show you how difficult it is for a child to actually say something. So, yes, it is. It's very difficult to get them to acknowledge.
And the amount of time that somebody who's been through this will sit on it. You were abused, I understand, between the ages of 12 and 15. How old were you when you finally started to talk about it?
In 2006. So I was well into my 30s, almost 40. You know, as I always say, I kept a secret for over 30 years that almost killed me.
And what was the first step then? I mean, how did you first begin? I mean, what did you say to yourself before you said anything to anybody else?
Well, for me, I was covering up initially with drug abuse. I didn't want to feel any pain, so I consumed as many narcotics as I could to just not feel. Then, so that for me, it was addressing that issue first. Once I got clean from those, then, Why was I doing this?
Why was I medicating myself?
That's exactly what it was, just that self-medication. Then I started talking to a counselor. She began saying, okay, so here's really what's the core. Here's why you were doing these things. At that point, I was able to open up and say, you know, this is what's been going on with me. So it was well into it before I was able to say it.
David Pittman is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the founder of Together We Heal. We are also joined by Tammy Pitson, who's the executive director of the Children's Advocacy Center in Medford. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Never an easy subject to talk about, but one we do talk about more as time goes on, child sexual abuse. Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 around the region, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. And so once you began to blog about this, that was the first real public stuff you put out about your own abuse?
Correct. It's been now, let's see. Well, in 2006 was when I actually came forward. Mm-hmm. When I found out where my abuser was, he was actually still a minister, still having access to children. And I went to the pastor of the church and told him. I said, look, you need to know what this man has done. And at that time, I thought that I was the only one. So they confronted him, and he admitted, crocodile tears, the whole nine yards. Well, they, of course, fired him on the spot, but certain denominations don't have to report from church to church, so they just fired him and didn't say anything. And he's gone since that time from church to church, and I have followed him. I get little bluebirds tell me where he's at from time to time. I go to that pastor, and we go through this series of him being hired, me telling the pastor, they find out what he is, which is a sexual predator, and they fire him, and this has gone on since 2006.
Wow, so this has not ended for you, then? This is an ongoing
thing. It's still ongoing.
It must be a fairly painful thing, but with a payoff, certainly.
Well, where I get the strength to keep going is knowing that if I keep doing this, another child won't go through what I did.
And so the response to your blog posts was, had you put much in the way of, like, you know, contact us back, or was it just sort of like, here it is?
Well, and that's where I found out. You know, when I thought I was the only one, since then, seven other guys have come forward and said, yes, he did the exact same thing to me. And this is at three different churches all across the state of Georgia.
So were you naming names?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. His name is Frankie Wally. Mm-hmm. I've named him since then. He's still, because of the statute of limitation, mm-hmm. There's no way that I can press criminal charges. And because he's not a billionaire, no lawyer will take up the case to sue him civilly. So until someone who has been abused by him comes forward, you know, within that statute, unless it's a young child now, none of these young men who are now grown men will ever get justice on this.
Tammy Pitson, let's talk about this part of things a bit, because the Children's Advocacy Center, obviously well integrated with the law enforcement community in Jackson County, but there must be myriad frustrations like this, things like church and state separation that lead to things not being investigated sometimes. We've seen it happen with quite a few religious organizations. And then the issue with statute of limitations and the difficulty in prosecuting cases, even when there appears to be evidence, too, because you've got young witnesses.
And that's a couple of different issues. One of the things I would say about the statute of limitations is many states are changing that to allow for some amount of time of recovery. Unfortunately, for the people who are adults now, that crimes happened under the old statutes, it's really hard to go back and to be able to prosecute those because of the law, of what the law was. And most states, a lot of states, are looking at that to see what changes need to be made, because we know that a child goes through a process, that this is a process, and recovery is a process, and disclosure is a process. It's not an event. It's something that develops over time, evolves over time, as comfort, safety, support systems go into place.
There is no day on which you become healed.
No.
Good way to put it.
And the other piece of that is these cases are really difficult to prosecute because of the way our, in my opinion, the way our system is designed. We have a victim-driven criminal system. You have to have a victim who's making a statement in order to have a crime that you can prosecute. And that's difficult when you have a child who may or may not be able to tell you what happened to them. They may not have the language to tell you. They may not have the recognition that it's something to tell. That's if it's their norm. They don't know that that doesn't happen in other to other people, that it's, you know, that's normal. It also comes down to a lot, an adult's word against a child's word. And at least when I was growing up, you know, there was the saying that was children were meant to be seen but not heard. Right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that some of that still happens. And I think people want to see the good in other people. They don't want to acknowledge that there are people who would prey on children. That says something about us as a society, or that says something about us. We don't want to recognize when it does happen because it says something about us, you know, as a parent or as a friend. Why didn't we see something? Why didn't we stop it? We would have known. And I don't think that that's any reflection on us. It has to do with how safe the child feels. We have no idea a lot of times what offenders tell kids. And so I used to do interviews early in my career. And what I would tell you is kids would tell me, they told me I would go to jail. They told me they would kill my mom. They told me they would kill my dog. And that's pretty heavy duty stuff to deal with and process if you're 5 or if you're 6. Then you become 15 and 16 and you're, then the question becomes, why didn't you tell earlier? And so then you don't tell. Mm-hmm. And then you become an adult. And,
Why did you wait so late? Why do you bother now?
And you heard a fair amount of that, I'm guessing, David Pittman.
Unbelievably. And when in reality, the cold hard facts are that 1 in 4 here in the United States, as we stand currently, 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys will be sexually abused before the age of 18. That is 20% of our population. 20% of the people walking around the United States have been sexually abused or are being sexually abused. 300 million people, what's that, 60 million people? 60 million people, folks. And that's just that we absolutely know about.
We're talking about child sexual abuse here on the Jefferson Exchange. David Pittman is the founder of Together We Heal and a sexual abuse survivor himself. Tammy Pitson is the executive director at the Children's Advocacy Center based in Medford. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 throughout the listening area. 800-838-3760. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. I haven't established a where. You work in Florida. Is that right, David?
We are based out of Jensen Beach, Florida, down in South Florida, about 40 miles north of West Palm Beach.
As you compare notes with people in other states, are there any states that you think are doing things exactly right, or at least getting close to doing things better than some of the others?
Well, Florida did a few years ago eliminate their statute of limitation laws. So now it doesn't matter. It's what Tammy said. Moving forward, it's going to protect those children. It doesn't help those in the past. Now, some states have enacted what they call window legislation. I think that's what you were referring to a little bit, where you'll get a two-year period to go back. And even though you fell under the old statute, they'll give you a two-year period to do that. But very seldom is this ever made widely known to the public. Most people, if you told them window legislation, they'd think, well, we got to put shutters up on our, you know, it just wouldn't make any sense to them. It has to be more explained. But as far as states that are really on the ball, and here's the other, I just have to interject this. We can't do it nationwide. Each state has to go and do this by itself, which to me is ridiculous, but that's just the way that the system is set up. So there's actually a website called sol-reform.com. Statute of Limitations. Marcy Hamilton is an attorney. She's done a great job with this. You can actually see where each site in each country, I mean, each state in the country is at, what laws they're at, what stage in passing the legislation is, and it kind of gives you a scale of who's at the bottom, who's at the top, and that's really going to be your best gauge of seeing where everyone is at.
As we learn more about abuse, and as it gets somewhat easier to talk about over time, Tammy Pitson, I mean, are more cases reported because of the fact that people are recognizing it more?
I think that there are more cases that are being reported than maybe 10 years ago. I think there are a lot more to be reported. I think that, you know, one of the things I've watched over the last year is all of these celebrities who have been found out or reported as to have had abuse, that they have been abusive to others or to children, or that there's been more talk, more conversation across the country. I think some of the things that I thought we were so much past, we really aren't. We are still asking and blaming victims. You know, why didn't you do something? We're still doing that. And I think that has to change. And I think when one of the things that even just this week I was talking to someone about is that we have this offenders need forgiveness, and we have this expectation that victims are going to give it to them, and that it's okay for them to ask. And I have the feeling, my opinion is, I don't think you need to forgive anybody to be able to heal and recover. I also think that you can forgive if that's what you feel like. However, the offender should not be asking for it. The victim should be giving it. It's a power, and it's a subtle power and control thing. And so I think we have come a long way, and there are more reports being made, but I think some of that is because the professionals who are investigating these cases are better at what they do. They have skills. They know what to look for. They don't just turn away because a child's not making a disclosure. It used to be couldn't take reports unless it was the child saying something happened. And now we're taking reports around what people are seeing, observing, and we're looking into that. So I think in here in the state of Oregon, there's actual money set aside to train those people. And there's a priority put on that these MDTs, these multidisciplinary teams that exist in every county across the state, there is some funding to help support the training and technical assistance in their work. And that's not the case across the country either.
And David Pittman, I know you came to town for this symposium in Medford today and tomorrow. Growing up after bad things happen, the developmental impact of trauma on children. How much of your life do you feel like you lost, or at least kind of gotten held back from being the person you have become because of your sexual abuse?
I would say from the time I was 12. Until time I was, I'm 47 now, I would say up until I was 40, because that was it. You know, I lost all of that time because I was either in a drug-induced stupor, or I was running in some way, emotionally, mentally, physically. I was constantly just running, keeping myself on the move, either working myself so furiously that it, because I didn't want to have to stop and think. That, you know, God forbid, because that's where, you know, I'll touch on that second. She just brought up, something I real feel passionately about, and that's the forgiveness issue.
Right.
But I was just trying to keep myself not thinking about it. And so whether it was working, whether it was relationships that were not meaningful, whether it was the narcotics, all of that time was wasted. It was all wasted. And so now I'm trying to be able to utilize whatever time I have am fortunate enough to have left on this planet to make sure not any other kids go through what I did.
Now, the point about offenders needing forgiveness, that was quite a rueful laugh you gave out there.
I am so tired of particular religious organizations, and I am a person of faith, so please don't, anyone who's listening, don't misunderstand, particularly fundamentalist religious groups telling us that as Christians we're supposed to forgive. It's hogwash. It is absolute bunkus. I'm trying to be nice on the radio here.
Using good words, I appreciate
I, as a survivor, do not owe the forgiveness to anyone. And I think Tammy said it right. For healing, whatever you as a survivor, if you're out there and you've been through this, if it helps you, then absolutely. But don't feel that it's a necessity, because it's not on you to do that.
All right. David Pitson is the founder of Together We Heal, a survivor of childhood sexual abuse. Tammy Pitson is the executive director of the Children's Advocacy Center. Did I say Pitson? Okay.
Yeah.
David
Sorry.
Pittman. And I knew it was going to happen at least once today. I was hoping it wouldn't happen on air.
Good, that's good. Though.
David Pittman and Tammy Pitson.
Say that 10 times fast.
Right. So Together We Heal and Children's Advocacy Center, both linked from jeffexchange.org. We'll add the link to solreform.com as well. It's an interesting site. I was just looking at it. David Pittman, thanks so much.
Thank
Tammy
you.
Pittson, thank
Appreciate
you for coming
you.
In today.
Great.